the Not Just a Game podcast with your host, Dr. Catherine Flick, Senior Lecturer in Computing and Social Responsibility at De Montfort University in Leicester.
I'm here live, semi-live for a podcast anyway, at the Interactive Pasts Conference.
Tipsy.
In the Netherlands, in Leiden. And I'm here with Megan Dennis from the University of York. And today she's giving us a really exciting talk on one of my favourite games, Dragon Age Inquisition, and things like looting of grave sites and behaviour in grave sites and what people do with the artefacts that they collect from these grave sites. So I'd just like to ask you, Megan, so what made you think of looking at Dragon Age Inquisition, and what's your greater project that you're interested in doing?
I started looking at Dragon Age Inquisition because it's a game with a really huge history, and it's a game with a really huge world that has a lot of different cultures in it, and the cultures are represented materially in different ways depending on what the culture is, and you can really get a sense of the different cultures through the game. The developers did a very good job of setting up the cultures and of creating a past and a historical memory in the game that lets you really see those cultures. So I liked the game initially from that standpoint. What I started looking at in particular with it was, why is it that for a game that has this massive, massive history and this massive sense of history, both as something the players see and as something within the game narrative, why is it that the default position in the game is still that those historical resources are a commodity, and that those historical resources are best used for their economic value instead of for their cultural value? So that was really how I came at this particular game. Specifically, my research is looking at archaeology, archaeologists, and bad archaeological practices in video games, with a focus right now, though it's ever expanding, as projects do, looking at representations of looting and the antiquities market in video games.
And you've got a bit of a background, or at least an interest in ethics as well, haven't you?
Yes. I have had to teach myself a lot, but there was like 2 months of reading that I did where I just every day just put my head down on my desk like, oh, ethics. This is hard. People don't realize how hard the study of ethics is, because everyone just assumes, oh, I'm behaving ethically and it just happens naturally, but it really, really doesn't.
So how does this hook in then? You talked today a bit about some of the different grave sites and tomb sites in Dragon Age Inquisition, and how those are kind of interacted with by the player. What ethical issues do you see arise in this?
There is definitely an issue of privilege in how the player character is given a sort of level of privilege that assumes that they can choose what happens to these grave sites, to these mortuary spaces, and to the artifacts within those spaces. And it's not really given in the narrative any reason for why the player should have control over those spaces. So looking at it as though possession becomes the dominant force, becomes the dominant ethic, that if you have something, if you can possess it, then that means that you have the right to do with it what you will, regardless of anyone else's potential historical or cultural claims on the objects. Those were things that I thought were very interesting in this particular game.
And one of the particular cultures that sort of, I guess, infringed upon in this game is the Elven culture,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
And through the Dragon Age stories, we start to build this picture up of the Elven culture across all of the games, about how it was once this mighty empire. And
Two mighty empires.
Yeah, that's right. Two mighty empires, and how it's something to do with Tevinter, it starts to get a bit cloudy towards the end. But I mean, this is one of these things about different perspectives. perspectives coming mm-hmm. about different cultural societies and things yeah. like that, different perspectives of how, you know, because people rewrite history all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
The winners.
And that's a really interesting aspect within this game, without getting into, like, spoilering things for anybody. Yeah, the idea that history can be rewritten by the dominant cultural group, like the history of other people can be rewritten,
yeah.
That definitely plays out in this game. That's
yeah.
becomes very important.
And so this culture is sort of, I mean, it was once mighty and then became kind of trodden upon and resigned to the fate of, I guess, the losers in this battle or this conquest and sort of shoved into ghettos or thrown out into the wilderness to become a nomadic people. And so there are different sorts of representations of the mortuary sites and tomb sites, which are more, I mean, I got the impression from your talk that there are some that are kind of more special, I guess, or more relatable to by the current day in sort of elves versus those that seem to be much more kind of forgotten about or much more ancient, I guess.
Yeah, seeing the places in the game where the narrative explicitly connects the, I don't want to say indigenous, but they're definitely molded after an indigenous viewpoint, an indigenous sort of stereotype. Mm-hmm. Seeing the way that those groups are connected to some of the monuments and the way that certain groups of elves within the game recognize their connections to some of the monuments, but not all of the monuments, that even within their own historical past, they have places where they don't necessarily have the connection to something. I'm kind of getting a little lost in my head.
I think like the Emerald Greys is a really good example, because you do have that within that zone. Yeah. There is a group of
yes, there's a group of elves within that zone.
The Dalish,
yeah. Yeah. And they are connected to the Valis Dalin, to these life trees that have monuments in front of them, and the histories that you learn about as you're exploring these life trees and monuments, they're applicable histories to the cultural history of the Dalish people. Mm-hmm. And in that place, you see the connection, but you are not, you're not ethically told that it's appropriate or inappropriate for you to go around and essentially claim them for the modern power
by putting your banner
in front of it. Like it's very Eddie Izzard, like, do you have a flag?
And
yes,
you slam it down.
And you slam it down, and then now the landscape is these monuments and trees with your banners in front of them. But then you get to another area of the game where again they make this really explicit connection between the Dalish people and this set of tombs, and in that case, if you go through and you actually loot the tombs, you suffer penalties with the Dalish people in terms of other quests that you can do with them and other amounts of narrative and access to backstory that you can get from them. So you have to choose in that place how you're going to behave. You have to choose, are you accepting the ethic that is common throughout the game, that if you can loot something that you should, or are you going to take a different position, a position that you need to figure out how to accomplish your goal without trampling on the rights or cultural patrimony of anyone else.
And so when you first played through this game, you probably weren't necessarily thinking so deeply about it. You probably just wanted to go, yes, I'm playing this game,
yeah.
I'm enjoying it, and everything's happening,
yeah.
And I want to do all the things.
I was just so excited to be playing Dragon Age again, frankly, yeah.
So did you think about this stuff when you were doing it? Did you go and loot the graves, and did you...
I would like to say that I didn't, because I would like to be the bigger person. But I will say that I started it, recognized what was happening, and was like, oh... that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the person that I want to be. That's not what I want my created character within the game to be. And I went back and stopped. But it doesn't mean that my natural instinct when playing as a player wasn't to say, oh, this is where the game wants me to go. It wants me to loot stuff. It wants me to take stuff. That's what it's told me to do the entire game. So I'm just going to do it now, because there won't be any consequence. So it gets interesting when you think about, if we had games where there was more of a consequence for behaving unethically, would we see unethical behaviors continue to be the norm, or yeah. if we offered players a choice and we said, hey, you know what, you can do this the right way, you can do the appropriate thing for everyone, would they take that opportunity?
And would it be as fun?
Exactly. Like, and that's the thing we have to remember, is they're games, so they need to be fun. But I always question, if something is fun because it's trampling on someone else, is that, for me, is that really the kind of fun that I want to have?
So sort of punching up versus punching
down. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really interesting. And one of the other, I mean, it reminds me a little bit in Dragon Age Orange, oranges. Origins, I always
think. The tastiest Dragon the Age.
Yes. In Dragon Age Origins, there's a series of headstones where you can activate it in some way. Like,
yeah.
You mess with the bones or something that are on top of it, or the flowers or something.
Yeah.
And this gigantic, like, level inappropriate lich appears and then completely wipes out
yeah.
the party.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you come back to that place at a much higher level, and when you're going through the story, like, you're just gonna be like, oh my god, maybe I shouldn't have done that, and then you reload and you're like, I'm gonna not do that again.
Yeah, it's a nice interesting teaching moment, that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, and it's a nice sort of like reflexive moment on the part of the developers to do something like that, so that you kind of get that mind, like, mental jolt that says, hey, I want you to think about what you're actually doing with your gameplay.
Because they also give you a little verbal that says, like, mess. It says something like, mess with the grave.
Yeah.
You know? And then you're like, yes or no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a hint. It's not an entire surprise to you that something bad is going to happen if you make a poor choice.
Yeah. Whereas normally in those sorts of things, it would just be like, you just interact with the grave.
Yeah.
And you'd get your prize or whatever.
Yeah.
Have you seen any games that do this sort of thing right?
Yes. Mostly right. So it's a caveat, mostly right. And there is one that I've been playing called The Curious Expedition, and it's a very indie game. It's out on Steam and via their website. And it's an exploration game. So you're actually playing an explorer. Usually they're all based on real people, so real scientists, real explorers. You're playing as one of them as you go through and explore a landscape and try to find a golden pyramid, which sounds like a setup for a game where you're naturally just going to take everything.
Mm-hmm.
But for, I would say, 75% of the game, everything that you do, they allow you the choice between behaving professionally or not behaving professionally. You can explore temples, but they specifically tell you, like, do you want to loot this? Do you want to take this? Like, if you're interacting with a religious site, do you actually want to mess with this religious site when the natives don't want you to? Like, they give you those choices. And you can play through, like I said, 75% of the game, and feel really good about your choices. And I really liked that, and then I got to that last part where you're at towards the end of the game and you have played a while and you feel like, okay, I've got this, and then they change it up on you and suddenly the temples are locked to get out of the particular board, to get out of the zone, and unless you do go into caves and shrines and loot objects, and they're very particular objects, like, it's, you know,
like
specific, it's not a key, it's like a glowy blue stone.
Okay.
but it's a glowy blue stone, it's very pretty. You have to go in and find those, and if you don't go in and take those, then you can't get out of the zone, and you have a health meter and a sanity meter, and eventually your health goes down and your sanity goes down and you die in the field.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, it's an extreme, like, you will take the glowy blue stones or you will die.
So it kind of turns it...
It turns it around on you, and it's something that was interesting to me, is that was the mechanic that they put in, and they have a very good rapport with their player base, like, they take a lot of discussion from their player base, they're very active, and I saw that a lot of people were upset by that. And in a later patch, suddenly there was an option to use a hot air balloon and escape from the zone. Now, you can't, when you escape from the zone, you can't necessarily take everything you have with you, mm-hmm. even things that you collected that are food items and things that you need to survive. You have to decide how much you're going to take. You may not be able to take all your people with you. You may have to leave behind a pack animal. Depending on your weight and what you have, it gets complicated. But you can choose to use that hot air balloon and get out. You don't win the game as much. So your win state becomes smaller, and your chances of winning the overall game where you're competing against other NPCs become smaller. But it is possible to get through that.
This might be a situation in which losing is fun, perhaps.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay, so if you had any advice to game developers that were thinking of putting mortuary spaces or grave sites or any sort of religious-type shrines of ancient cultures, perhaps, or even more recent cultures, what would be the advice that you would give to them?
Remember that they are not just an object, that they represent the last act that one group of people can do for a person. It's the last thing that you can do for someone, is to ensure that they're buried or that their remains are disposed of in a way that is in keeping with their religious and cultural and value traditions. So remember that a tomb is not just a thing on the landscape that you can take from. It represents the some care of a culture for its people. So think about ways that you can integrate the importance of that care act into your game without turning it just simply into a repository for collection, because it's a very Western idea that objects that we find in the ground necessarily belong to everyone just because you find it. That's not the case all over the world, and I think that we can do better as game designers and as game players in asking for respect to be paid for the importance of mortuary traditions in games. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining me.
Where can we find you on the internet?
I am at GingeryGamer on Twitter and at GingeryGamer.com.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. To the Not Just a Game podcast. The music in this podcast is Hot Machine Cold Surface by Ben Prunty on OC Remix. The graphics are from the Noun Project.